Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Welcome back. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Cioli. First, I just got to say this right off the top. Take a gigantic breath, please. I beg of you. Take a deep breath. A big, big, deep breath when it comes to this election. Nate Silver, who is a statistician, one of the most reliable ones out there, as of right now, the electoral forecast model that he's posted, 12:31 p.m., July 30th, 2024, has Donald Trump electoral college probability 61%. Kamala Harris's electoral college probability 38%. Now, let's understand why I tell you all the time, I'm not saying this to be like I told you, I'm not trying to do what I do with my kids. Like, I told you not to touch the hot pot of boiling water. I'm not doing that. I'm saying the reason why I tell you all the time, don't ignore national polls. Don't pay attention to them. They're stupid. They have nothing to do with how our country works. We don't have a national election for president of the United States. We don't. We have 50 elections for president of the United States, and they all add up to the electoral college number that you need to become president. Which at this point, I think is, what do you need to become president, Matt DeSantis? It's like 42, 50, 60 electoral votes. What is it?
I think it's a little higher than that. I think it's 270, but
all right.
What do I know?
We can agree to disagree. The point is, we don't have one gigantic election where everybody goes out and votes all at once, and then we add up the total, and then that's the president. If we did, that'd be the popular vote. We don't do it that way in this country, and thank God we don't. And we never will, hopefully, unless they were to change the Constitution. And I don't see that happening in our lifetime. Again, thank God. Not that the left is not going to try. When it comes to the popular vote, though, Kamala Harris does quite well. She wins. And she will win the popular vote. Probably. I don't care. Who cares? It's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. California skews all of that, as does New York, too. But she's got a 53% chance of winning the popular vote. So when you see national polls, like there's a new one out today showing that she's got a 3-point lead or something like that, ignore it. Just don't even let your blood pressure go up at all. Even if you start to see some swing state polls that show her having a little bit of an increase, that's okay. It's to be expected. I'm not surprised by that. I think there's one today, a Pennsylvania poll showing she's up 3 against Trump. I'm not surprised by that. Number one, pollsters, people still lie to pollsters about who they're going to vote for. That's number one. But the issues that people are still telling pollsters, those issues have not changed. In other words, the exact same thing that people were saying to pollsters when it was Joe Biden. Yeah, I'm going to vote for Biden. Really? Yeah. What do you think about the country? I think it stinks. I think it's on the wrong track. I think the economy is terrible. I hate it. And I miss Trump. But you're voting for Biden? Yeah. They lie to pollsters about who they're voting for a variety of reasons. And, you know, maybe more now it's a situation where they still don't want to be a racist, sexist, whatever they're going to be labeled as. But how people are responding to pollsters when they're asked questions about how they feel about the direction of the country tells me things have not changed and they're not going to change. Now, I don't know what I don't know. And obviously between now and then, a lot can change. But in terms of how people feel about the trajectory of the country because of the Biden-Harris administration and what Kamala Harris would do as president, I don't see that changing when they have the ability to contrast that with what Donald Trump has already done as president. Remember, regardless of whether you like the guy or not, regardless of mean tweets, regardless of whether or not you think Donald Trump is a brute, you may still like his policies and you may wish you had those policies right now. So I don't see that changing. So when you look at Nate Silver's forecast and he looks at this Electoral College model, Trump has a 61.3% chance of winning the Electoral College. He's got him at 280 electoral votes, which is what you need to become president. He's got Kamala Harris at 257. Now, it's close, closer than with Joe Biden with an asterisk, and the asterisk being because Kamala Harris is new. She's the fresh face, and everybody right now is giving her time in the spotlight. And that is also what is going to be, in my opinion, her demise, because as she spends all this time in the spotlight and all these old clips of her come out, saying all her wacky, kooky, progressive Marxist things that she said to try to become the Democrat nominee for president in 2020, those numbers are going to go back down to earth. I have no doubts about that. None whatsoever. So I'm really not going to be focused about here we are in August or almost August. We're what are we like a day away? I'm not going to be focused right now about what one poll says or what national polls say or any of these other things, because you need to just calm down. I've gotten a lot of panicked tweets from people and a lot of panicked emails, and you know, I really think that she's going to win. She's been the candidate for a week. Like, give it some time. You know, I mean, if you were dating and after a week you said, I really think I'm going to marry this woman, I'd have you locked up in a mental institution. That's not how it's supposed to work. You got to give time. My grandmother used to always say this. She used to say, you want to get to know somebody in life, you have to eat a pound of salt with them. That's because when you eat, you sprinkle salt on food little by little. You know, unless you're Irish, of course, you pour the whole freaking salt shaker on it because you have no taste buds. But that's a whole other story. My wife's half Irish. I can make jokes. I'm honorary. You know what I mean? But otherwise, it's little. You know, a little dash of salt here, a pinch there. You know what I mean? It takes time to get to know somebody. Same thing with candidates. Right now, they don't really know Kamala Harris. I mean, they know she's been vice president, but they don't really know her because people live their lives and they're not consumed by politics the way you are, the way I am. They don't live this stuff and breathe this stuff. They got their jobs and their lives and their kids. And so right now it's, oh, this is the getting to know you phase. And as they get to know her and find out about her policy positions, I think we're going to wind up exactly where we are or where we were when Joe Biden was there. It wasn't just Joe Biden's age. I know it's easy now to rewrite history and to turn around and pretend like it was just about the fact that Joe Biden had dementia. It was more than that. Americans lived under 4 years of Joe Biden's presidency, and if they were making money and they were happy and they could afford to take their family to McDonald's, they wouldn't care if the old codger had dementia or not. They would not care. They would trust that competent people were running the show, and they would sleep okay at night, and they would hope that they gave him a little Fisher Price phone to dial, you know, the red button if he wants to call in a nuclear strike, and that cooler heads would prevail and they would take care of it. Because things were good. When things are not good, then that's when issues like that become at the forefront. But those same issues are attached to Kamala Harris. In fact, Nate Silver, using polling averages, still has Trump up in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Georgia, Arizona, and within striking distance in Virginia. Trump is losing Wisconsin. And he may lose Wisconsin, but it's very close. But he doesn't need to win Wisconsin. If he wins Michigan and Pennsylvania, it's game over. I'm not really worried about Minnesota either. I don't think he's going to win Minnesota. He may, but... And look, I know that there was, you know, weeks ago, there was all this cockiness about, he's going to win New Jersey, he's going to win New York. And I kept telling you, look, if he does, great, bragging rights, but I don't want to see the campaign invest a dollar in those states. I don't want to see them invest a dollar in trying to win New Jersey or Pennsylvania. Or excuse me, New Jersey or New York. And that's the reason why. Because I always anticipated the race would tighten as we get closer to the fall. And I don't care if he wins Pennsylvania, New Jersey or New York. I don't care. I want him to win Pennsylvania. If he wins Pennsylvania, he's president. It doesn't matter to me. He could win Pennsylvania by 1% and be president. And if he loses New Jersey by 10%, he's still president. Because that's how it works in our country. So just don't worry about the national polls right now. We got a long way to go here. We got a long way to go. And the attacks against Kamala Harris are going to intensify big time. And despite what the left says, the attacks on Kamala Harris are going to be based on what Kamala Harris has actually said. And they're going to be based on her actual record. Dave McCormick has another ad out. It's a great ad. You know, as he runs for United States Senate in Pennsylvania, and he's tying Kamala Harris to Bob Casey. Again, we're getting into August now. People are still on summer vacation. People are still not completely tuned in yet, but they are beginning to define Kamala Harris now as a very far left senator and a far left vice president and a person who would be a very far left president. In fact, The Hill just published a piece behind the hoopla. Democrats are anxious about Kamala Harris. Behind the public jubilation over Vice President Harris's swift rise to become the party's likely nominee for president, Democratic lawmakers are privately anxious about her prospects of defeating former President Trump, acknowledging she is largely untested as a candidate and faces serious challenges. The anxiety, for the most part, has been set aside out of a deep sense of relief that Biden decided to get out of the race. After months of unease over the 81-year-old incumbent, Democratic lawmakers are glad to rally behind Harris in hopes she'll rev up the Democratic donor base and young and minority voters, but concerns are already bubbling up over her ability to connect, as well as Biden did in 2020, with white, working class, and union voters in the three states that are critical to winning: Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. So there you go. Here's Dan McCormick's new ad, cut 14.
An undocumented immigrant is not a criminal.
These are God's children. These aren't just throwaways.
Your immigrant status, whatever it is, does not, in our mind's eye, designate you as a criminal.
I support our sanctuary law.
Abolish ICE.
And we need to probably think about starting from scratch.
It is wrong to deport 11 million people.
Deal with the problem. We have 11 million people here who need a pathway to citizenship.
Finally fixing our system so that we can give people a path to citizenship.
I am not for a wall.
A wall should not be confused with border security.
To suggest that we have to build a wall because there are terrorists who are trying to invade the country. It couldn't be farther from the truth.
Raise your hand if you think it should be a civil offense rather than a crime to cross the border.
Is the situation to any degree a result of signaling from the Biden administration?
No, the answer is no. Kamala Harris is inspiring.
And yeah, I am radical. I do believe that we need to get radical.
She's prepared right now to do this job. She's prepared to be commander-in-chief.
And yeah, I am radical. We have to get radical.
We got to get radical and the cackle. Radical and the cackle. An MSNBC focus group does not go as well as they planned. So this guy had four black men sitting there, and he's interviewing them. And the question is, how many of you know a black man who has expressed to you that they're committed to voting for Donald Trump? All four hands go up. And then the guy asks a follow-up question: has the emergence of Kamala Harris changed that? Cut 15.
How many of you know a black man who has expressed to you that they're committed to voting for Donald Trump? Okay. For the brothers who have told you that or said that to you, has the emergence of Kamala Harris changed that for those brothers?
No.
No. No. The answer is no. No. Not even hesitation, just no. The answer is no. So you're telling me there's a chance. Part of the reason why is because of what James Carville warned about, which is that these men, black voters, black men, and white men too, they don't want these preachy liberal women telling them how to live their lives, telling them you can't eat cheeseburgers, go eat your peas, got to save the planet. And they don't like it. And what has the Kamala Harris campaign been doing the last couple of days? They've had white women for Kamala Harris. Now they had white dudes for Kamala Harris. They had a bunch of beta males come out and I'll do a little video. White dudes for Kamala Harris. So they're doing the exact same lefty playbook. Let's separate people by race, separate people by gender, put everybody in little boxes. And that's kind of stuff that turns people off. Like, really, I mean, if you're a black voter, you're a black man in Atlanta sitting at that barbershop. I don't know exactly where that was, but. And you hear there's the white dudes for Kamala Harris phone call, you're shaking your head. I'm sorry, but you are. You know, unless you are a crazy lefty, in which case you go, oh, that's wonderful. Yay. That's great. We love racism. We love it when we scream about racism, but we actually do it, because that's what the Democrats are doing. When you white dudes for Kamala Harris, I mean, what is that other than segregating people by race and then having them all on a campaign call? With Sean Astin, who played, I don't know, Rudy or whatever he played. It doesn't matter, but she's going to get slaughtered. Here's James Carville speaking to PBS's Margaret Hoover. And the question, of course, is, and I'm telling you, James Carville does not believe Kamala Harris can sustain this momentum. He doesn't believe it. I know deep down inside he thinks she's a terrible candidate. I think he's hoping, beyond hope, that there's still a chance that they can swap her out. I would not be surprised if the Democrats do. If you've heard former and future President Trump speak recently, he's also said Kamala Harris or whoever they put up I don't think Trump is convinced it's going to be Kamala Harris. I'm still not convinced it's going to be Kamala Harris. I think James Carville knows she's a terrible candidate. He knows that she's not going to survive this initial honeymoon. Once that fades, and it's going to fade very quickly, it's already starting to fade. Cut 16.
What is the key for the vice president to sustain this excitement for her candidacy throughout the rest of the campaign?
That's the key question. And the first thing is to recognize what happened. What happened was that people wanted something different. And that she just projects the fact that she is, you know, excited about the future. And there was no policy that anyone was pushing. There was no particular group that was behind this. It was just a general feeling that people wanted a different choice than Donald Trump and President Biden. And they got it. And there is some good. Now, look, she's going to get slaughtered. They're coming out. They're coming. And this is just part of the no different than it was any other time. And they have got to get up and get ready, and they've got to be able to defend and attack at the same time. And there's going to be a time of struggle, a definition as to who Vice President Harris is. And we better be ready for that. But I feel like we are in a better position today than we were Sunday morning. And we're doing this interview on Wednesday. So I'll take small victories where I get them.
Yeah, it's not going to last. That's the bottom line. It's not going to last. And the reason why it's not going to last is because all they have right now as their main issue is abortion. And that's what they're already running with. They're not running with a new economic boom for America. This is how we're going to change things. And those attitudes that Kamala Harris has does not win over white working class voters. It doesn't win over black working class voters. It doesn't win over Hispanic working class voters. Wanting open borders and wanting more big government policies and, you know, running out there and talking about abortion over and over and over again as the primary issue. These things are not what move the needle on the working class voters you need to win in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, Nevada, Georgia, North Carolina. It's just they're not. And so, yeah, look, I understand, you know, people keep coming out and talking about suburban women, but suburban women have bills, and they have gas tanks that they have to fill up, and they have children to feed. And I'm sorry, but I think those things matter more to them than Kamala Harris's position on abortion, because these women are not stupid, and they know that despite the left screaming about the topic, it is not something that is going to be illegal. It may be severely restricted in certain states, and yes, in some states it may quite frankly be illegal, but not where they live. Not in Pennsylvania, it's not. So I still don't believe that that issue is anything other than a corporate media manufactured issue to try to suppress Republican turnout. And I can already feel it. I can feel it now. I can feel people who are already saying things like, yeah, this may be over now, huh? Like, what are you talking about? She's been a candidate for 8 minutes. What are you talking about? I don't know. We're going to need a lot of people coming out on Election Day. Well, we always did. We always needed a lot of people coming out on Election Day, number one. But number two, because of abortion, like, how has that changed? Because she's a woman talking about abortion versus Joe Biden being a man talking about abortion, that somehow the issue's changed. Look, either you're voting on that issue or you're not. And I don't think the fact that Kamala Harris is a woman talking about abortion suddenly means people are now voting on the issue of abortion versus when Joe Biden was talking about it. Either that issue moves you or it doesn't. If it moves you, you made up your mind a long time ago. You're voting Democrat, no matter who that Democrat is. It's all the other people who factor that issue into a whole box of issues and then decide which ones are most important for them. And whether it's Kamala Harris saying it or Joe Biden saying it, it doesn't change the fact that it may not be the most important issue for them. Period. All right. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. If you want to chime in today as we the big story of the day brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria. VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VANARIA. VanariaDental.com. My buddy, Dr. Mike, with two locations to serve you. in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Go see him today for your perfect smile. Coming up, more of the examination of the acting Secret Service director, what some of the other senators had to say about the absolute security failures that led to the assassination attempt that almost killed Donald Trump. Got a lot of great audio for you as we continue along, but I got to tell you about my friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding because they are outstanding. When it comes to your home, protection and peace of mind are paramount. That's why Emmons is your go-to contractor for roofing, siding, and windows. Your home will not only look stunning from the curb, but will also be energy efficient, secure, and ready to withstand the elements. With Emmons, you know you're getting top quality materials and the finest craftsmanship in the area. So whether it's a durable, lifetime warranted Owens Corning roof that stands up to severe weather, siding that keeps your home insulated and looking sharp, or new windows that blend functionality with style, Emmons has you covered. And because Stephanie and Matt know that times are tough for so many people, they're offering each and every one of my listeners an inflation relief discount of 10% off roofing, siding, and Anderson window replacement. That's right. Listen, we've used Emmons for every project in our home. They first did the roof in our old house. We got the lifetime warranty on that, the Owens Corning shingle, the best in the business. They did such a great job. I said, let's have them redo the windows, and they did. And since then, they've done more projects. And now in our new home, they've already replaced some skylights for us, put in some new doors, and more projects on the way. So trust the team that I trust, and that's Emmons. I trust them completely. Matt and Stephanie will do a great job. Their entire team dedicated to your customer satisfaction. And 10% off. You can't beat that. 10% off inflation relief discount. EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And Andrew's on the show today. I see you back, Andrew.
Hi.
Hi. Very manly.
Oh, yes.
That was very manly.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Voice crack there was good. Mm-hmm. You learned that from Brian Stelter or...
No, it's for whatever reason, even though I'm 30 now, it's just something that hasn't gone away. My nephew reminds me of it all the time, so...
It's all right. It's all right. Listen, we like transitions on this show. We like people going through puberty. It's fun. It's fun for everybody. Don't take it personally. Don't worry. So I had deviated septum surgery last week on Friday. I was out. I don't know if you were in. Were you in on Friday, Andrew?
I was, but for a different show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
A lesser show, clearly. And so I have tomorrow, the guy's going to suck my nose out, all the shin gods that are up there, and there's a lot of them.
Ew.
But DeSantis just asked me if we were going to YouTube live today, and the answer is no, because of the fact that I still can't breathe. I have to keep blowing my nose. It's gross. I have my Simply Saline nasal care here, and I got to keep, you know, keeping my nose nice and dry. It's very hard to do lines of cocaine in here because my nose is so stuffy, so I've got to inject it into my veins. Got a freebase. And that I don't want people seeing that on camera either. So enough of that on the Hunter Biden laptop. Am I right?
That's fair.
Fair enough. So,
and to anyone wondering, your nose doesn't look any different. I thought you were going in for a nose job.
Are you saying I needed a nose job? Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying.
Andrew, it kind of sounds like he says I need a nose job. My nose is
he was implying something. That's what it sounded like.
I took that as a deep insult right there.
That's not what I was saying.
Like my Roman nose needed to be... transitioned off.
I'm just saying, you're on
shaved
TV a lot now, and I feel like every time a Kardashian...
I go on TV, it looks too big.
No,
is that what you're
Kardashian...
saying? You keep digging here, man. Holy
every
cow.
Time a Kardashian goes to get like a nose job, they claim it's to fix a deviated septum, but then they look entirely different. So I didn't know if you were going Hollywood on us, telling everybody, oh, you know what, I've got a deviated septum here, and then you're gonna come back with like a, I don't know, a Kendall Jenner nose or something.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah
no, I'm way too shallow for that. What I would do is instead I'd have them break my legs and make me taller. They do that, but I would do.
That looks incredibly painful.
Oh, yeah. You think you can't walk for 2 years or something? I looked into it.
Wow. That is... that's a lot. I'm not going to lie. That's a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot. And you only get a couple extra inches out of it, too.
It doesn't seem worth it.
Now, so just, you know, just pull a DeSantis and wear boots. The other DeSantis.
The other DeSantis. I don't wear boots.
No, not you.
No, I'm way too late.
Governor DeSantis.
That looks painful. I'm not walking around in heels.
Yeah, no, definitely not. So no YouTube. I can't, for an hour, I can't be on camera with just stuffy congestion, you know? That's why I'm in the hallway and blew my nose just now and blood came out.
Hey, why are you telling me this? I don't want to know.
A lot of blood.
I'm trying
and
not
that,
to.
And that dark blood that Nancy Pelosi craves, that vampiric blood, you know what I mean?
I thought I heard something fluttering around here.
Yeah, exactly. Gross.
We're not that far from D.C., so you never know.
Yeah, and she could be here in a matter of moments. Got to be very careful. How are the kids, Andrew?
Great. They're both eating a lot. Although the daughter is kind of going through a phase where she's, you know, she the food she used to like, she's not interested in anymore, and then it's trying to get her to eat new foods and all that good stuff. So,
how old are they again?
The daughter's almost two,
right?
And my son will be 8 months next week.
That's crazy.
It is.
Crazy that you are here right now.
And conscience.
Yes.
And drove myself into the studio today.
Yeah. Did you know where you were going? I mean, is it just all autopilot at this point because you're so overtired?
Sometimes. It's usually like if I have a decent morning and, you know, I have, you know, several amounts of coffee or, you know, depending on what I eat for breakfast, I'm usually pretty good. So
that's good.
Today was a good day.
I still have, you know, Reagan's four. She still comes in the room at 6 o'clock in the morning for her wake-up call like a rooster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
what's done. Can we paint? That's what I got this morning. Can we paint at 6 a.m.? And I wanted to say to her, listen, I didn't give up doing a morning show so that I could start painting with you at 6 a.m., Reagan. For the record.
My daughter used to wake up like before the crack of dawn, and then we went on a trip to Colorado last year, and like the time difference, I really do think messed up her internal clock, so she sleeps later in the day. My son is the one who gets up, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock, something like that. So
brutal,
yeah,
it's brutal. These kids, right? And you know, you try to drug them and get them to go back to sleep, and it doesn't always work. And you know, then the authorities get involved, and it's messy.
You
and,
secretly you try know. To switch prescriptions or not prescriptions, or you know.
Here, kids, it's a gummy. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Stop it.
It's candy.
Just relax. Everybody, relax. So we have. More audio. The back and forth today with the senators was great. And I like, so Senator Roger Marshall is going to be here at 5:30 today on the show. I'm very excited to welcome him to the show for his first time. His first appearance on the show. Hopefully won't be his last, but this is him going back and forth today with the acting Secret Service director. Cut three.
Occasions, President Trump's team was denied more of a detail, more assets. Who denies that? Who is the person that denies that, generally speaking?
So, Senator, there's a process. There's a conversation had with the details.
There's got to be a buck stopping. There's got to be someone. Who is the person? Is it a level within the D.C. agency? Is it someone in the Pittsburgh office? Who denies this?
It has nothing to do with the Pittsburgh office. Okay. It is a conversation between not only the detail, the field office, but also.
I don't want to know the conversation. I want to know who makes the decision.
The decision, sir, is it's our process between the Office of Protective Operations and the Office of Investigations.
Is there a title for this position?
It is called we affectionately call it the War Room, and
he's fired up, and he should be fired up, and a lot of these guys are fired up, and they have reason to be. Here's Senator Ted Cruz asking whether security assets have always been made available when they were requested by the Trump team. This is a little bit of a longer cut. But again, this is all really important and worth hearing. And I'm just not going to let all this go away. And you know, you get 10-second news sound bites on the corporate media and they want to whitewash all this. But I'm not going to let that happen. We have to get answers and we need to bring this forward. And there was a lot of very good moments today. Some of it. Yeah, look, there's always going to be grandstanding with all this stuff. I get it. I understand. They play to the cameras. But sometimes drama is good because it also drives points home. Cut four.
Secret Service put out an official statement from your spokesperson that says there's an untrue assertion that a member of the former president's team requested additional security resources and that those were rebuffed. This is absolutely false. In fact, we added protective resources and technology and capabilities as part of the increased campaign travel tempo. Was this tweet accurate?
With respect to Butler, Pennsylvania, it is accurate, sir.
It is accurate that the Trump team had not asked for additional security and had not been rebuffed.
If you're talking about Butler, Pennsylvania, all assets requested were approved. If you're talking about the media reporting of assets requested There were times when assets were unavailable and not able to be filled, and those gaps were staffed with state and local law enforcement tactical assets.
So I'm reading from the Washington Post, July 20th, 2024. Secret Service said to have denied requests for more security at Trump events. The opening paragraph, top officials of the U.S. Secret Service repeatedly denied requests for additional resources and personnel sought by Donald Trump's security detail in the 2 years leading up to his attempted assassination, according to four people familiar with the requests. Is that right, that repeatedly the Trump detail asked for more resources and repeatedly Secret Service leadership turned that down?
That is not accurate, Senator. Assets are requested. There's a process that is made.
How many requests did the Trump team or the Trump detail ask for?
I can get you that number in a queue.
You don't know now.
So I can speak to the ones that reported in the Washington Post, and we can go through them if you like.
But you don't know how many requests there were.
In general, how many requests since 2021 that the former Trump detail has made a request for assets?
You've had 2 weeks. You had a spokesperson put something out that is false on its face. By the way, did you approve this statement when it went out?
I don't know if I did or didn't, Senator.
Has this spokesperson, is he still employed? Does he still have a job?
He is still employed, Senator.
So he lied on behalf of the Secret Service. He still has a job. Did your predecessor, the former director, did she approve this statement?
Senator, our comms team, they send out statements. They do deconflict them and they put them out.
Did she approve this statement?
I don't know if she did or did not, Senator.
And you don't know if you did either?
I don't recall approving it, Senator.
I don't recall approving it.
Will you commit,
Senator,
to provide this committee in writing every written request for additional resources from the Trump campaign or the Trump detail and every response from Secret Service?
Senator, I will commit to providing responses and getting you the information that you are seeking.
Let me ask you something. And who makes the decision to deny those requests? Did you make that decision?
Which requests? Are you talking about the ones that were in the Washington Post?
Yes.
So the process, sir, is that a detail will make a request for either staffing, technical assets. That is handled between the field office and the detail. It goes up to a logistics office between our
Okay, so there's a bureaucracy. Is there a decision maker?
It's not a bureaucracy, Senator.
Give me the
person
that's a decision maker. Is there one?
Senator, it's a conversation. It's not just an absolute yay or nay.
So let me tell you what I believe. I believe that the Secret Service leadership made a political decision to deny these requests.
Let's stop it right there for a second. Let's back it up like 10 seconds. Why is there a committee that sits around and makes these kind of decisions regarding a guy like Donald Trump and his security? That, you see, that's to me as a layman, I'm listening to that and I'm going, wait, that's how it's done? There isn't standard operating procedures. There's a bureaucratic committee that sits around and what does a show of hands? How many people think we should have more heavily armed agents around the guy who is hated by like half the country? And they know that there's threats that come in all the time against the guy. So they sit around and they have a little cake and cookies in the office and they kind of chit-chat about it. All right, show of hands. Who thinks we need to have more heavily armed, well-trained Secret Service agents? And maybe we should have the perimeter secure. And show of hands, who thinks we should have snipers on the roof? Huh? I got two. Johnny, what about you? Huh? Yes? No? What? How about a drone? Anybody think we'd have a drone over the area? Show of hands? Oh, sorry. Majority rules. No drones. That's how they do it. That's how they figure out the security of the president of the United States of America. Who, by the way, it's important to note, Donald Trump's not president, but he was, and he could be again. And he's a former president. So you would imagine former presidents who are the major party political candidates, which is the twofer right there, who are also extraordinarily hated by crazy people, that you wouldn't sit around and have a powwow at the office water cooler talking about safety and security issues. There'd be more of a detailed SOP, standard operating procedure. And I think that that's what I'm hearing right now. And I'm just losing my freaking mind going, this is everything wrong with bureaucracy. That they even have to have a chit-chat among bureaucrats about something like, how do you keep Trump alive? All right, keep going.
Senator, it's a conversation. It's not just an absolute yay or nay.
So let me tell you what I believe. I believe that the Secret Service leadership made a political decision to deny these requests. And I think the Biden administration has been suffused with partisan politics. Did the same person who denied the request for additional security to President Trump also repeatedly deny the request for security to Robert F. Kennedy Jr., whose father was murdered by an assassin and whose uncle was murdered by an assassin? Did the same person make that decision?
Senator, what I will tell you is that Secret Service agents are not political.
Okay, you're not answering my question. But you know what? Leadership appointed by the president is political.
It is entirely political. And this is part of the problem here. The problem is that we had bureaucrats in charge who I think hated Donald Trump's guts. And I think that they, whether or not there was an inside job to help kill him, remember, there are different ways that there could be inside jobs. It could be very simple where bureaucrats say, let's not go overboard here with protecting the guy. I mean, that is can easily be labeled incompetence and easily be brushed aside as being nothing more than just bureaucratic incompetence, but you're not supposed to be incompetent when you're at that level. The whole point of you being there is because you're supposed to understand the real world threats that exist against the guy who's a former president of the United States and a future president of the United States. And you're able to do and be proactive and think in terms of how you can meet the moment and prevent that from happening. So is it out of the realm of possibility that bureaucrats sit around and go, you know what? We hate the guy's guts. Just saying, let's not go overboard here. I can't rule that out any more than I can rule out the CIA is purposely hiding documents from me because it directly implicates them in the assassination of John F. Kennedy Jr. And that's why they, or John F. Kennedy, and that's why they don't want us to have all the information. I can't rule anything out until I get all the facts. But when I listen to this stuff, I go, that's how they make these decisions? And then what about who makes a decision to involve local law enforcement? Who makes a decision to involve the state police? Who makes a decision to leave an entire roof unguarded? Who makes the decision to ignore the calls by local law enforcement on the radio saying there's a guy on a roof? Who makes these determinations? Senator John Kennedy had some good questions to ask as well. We have a little bit of Senator Kennedy from today. Take a listen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Abate, am I saying your name right?
Yes, Senator. Thank you.
You are the deputy director of the FBI. Is that correct?
Yes, Senator.
Is there any doubt in your mind or in the collective mind of the FBI that President Trump was shot in the ear by a bullet fired by the assassin crooks?
Senator, there is absolutely no doubt in the FBI's mind former President Trump was hit with with a bullet and wounded in the ear. No doubt there never has been.
Okay.
I've been part of this investigation since the very beginning, and that has never been raised.
You're sure?
Yes.
It wasn't a space laser?
No.
It wasn't a murder hornet?
Absolutely not.
It wasn't Sasquatch?
No, Senator.
It was a bullet?
It was a bullet, Senator.
100%. Fired by crooks?
Yes, sir.
That hit President Trump in the ear and almost killed him?
100%, Senator.
Okay. Glad we cleared that up. I don't want to get off the subject here. Did the FBI just settle two lawsuits, one wholly, one in part, in which the FBI agreed to give Peter Strzok $1.2 million and Ms. Lisa Page, $800,000.
It's my understanding, Senator, that the Department of Justice was involved in that, not the FBI.
The FBI had nothing to do with it?
There may have been consultation with our general counsel's office, but...
Does the FBI have to sign off on it?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't believe so, but I would want to confirm that.
I would like you to... This would be the same Lisa Page who said... to Mr. Strzok, quote, Trump's not ever going to become president, right? Right. To which Mr. Strzok said, quote, no, he won't. We will stop it. That's the Peter Strzok and Lisa Page I'm talking about. I need to know if the FBI signed off on this lawsuit.
We will get that answer for you, Senator.
And then I need to know who signed off on it. Did you sign off on it?
I absolutely did not and would never sign off on something.
Did Chris Wray sign off on it, the settlement?
I don't believe he did.
Okay. Did any, you don't know what.
Nor do I think he would have.
You need to let me know who signed off on this, if anyone at the FBI. So it was Merrick Garland who agreed to do this. Is that right?
I don't, Senator, I do not know.
Well, hell, somebody had to agree to it. I've settled a lawsuit before. The client's got to agree to it. You're the client.
Understood. Right. I'm gonna direct in to the Department of Justice to answer those questions.
Get me that information, if you would.
I'd like to get that information, too. By the way, a couple other points from the Secret Service hearing today. First of all, the acting Secret Service said that agents didn't know that the gunman on the roof had a gun. That's what they said today. They didn't know the shooter had a gun on the roof. We also found out today that the Trump rally gunman stopped firing after a local officer shot at him. We found out that. That's also something that is a new development. And the Secret Service delayed Trump from taking the stage in Nashville after another security lapse, according to a source. New York Post has this story. Secret Service delayed Trump from taking the Nashville stage after another security lapse, according to sources. I'll tell you more information on that straight ahead as we continue along the show. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Coming right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
The Secret Service director could be ashamed of all these failures, but it doesn't stop the fact that this agency, in my opinion, there's real questions about not just the competency. That's the easy part. Whether or not bureaucrats in there just didn't give a damn whether Donald Trump lived or died. Bottom line, I'll just say it. They just didn't care whether Donald Trump lived or died. I really believe that. I think this is a legitimate question. I'm not going so far as to say that they killed the guy. They tried to kill the guy. I'm just saying that there's a real question whether, and I'm not ruling that out either, because I can rule nothing out. I rule nothing out until I have all the facts. That's my rule in life. But I'm just saying I can't rule out the fact that they were just like, you know, it's like Rocky IV. If he dies, he dies. Like I'm almost to the point now where the Secret Service had the Ivan Drago reaction. The head of the people at the top who were sitting around in the break room coming up with ideas on how to keep the guy safe. The little committee. It's like, maybe we need a guy on the roof. What are you going to do? The sloped roof could be dangerous. Somebody could fall off and hurt their knee, scrape themselves. OSHA. Former President Donald Trump was briefly delayed by Secret Service agents from taking the stage at a conference in Nashville Saturday because of another security lapse. The holdup was caused by two individuals who made their way around metal detectors inside the Music City Center, where the 2024 Bitcoin conference was held shortly after 3:30 p.m. And the Secret Service said in a statement to the Post that the two were credentialed and screened, but were removed from the premises because they didn't follow proper entry protocol. And there you go. Republican nominee was set to give the keynote address, was instructed by a security detail to wait until the individuals were located. According to sources, after the two people were tracked down, they were ejected from the event and questioned. Neither person has been criminally charged. The two did get stopped at an initial checkpoint before they bypassed the second screening, sources said. An email to the Trump campaign went unanswered. The latest security blip comes 2 weeks after Trump was grazed by a sniper's bullet. He's going back to Butler, PA, by the way. Good for him. Good for him, his triumphant return to Butler, Pennsylvania. Let me play this quick clip for you. Trump going back to Butler, why he's doing it. He said this last night to Fox News' Laura Ingraham. Cut 7.
So you're going back to Butler to finish that speech, to give another speech.
I'm going back to, it's interesting to finish it, you say, and now to proceed
continued,
from
to
where
to be continued.
Yeah, I mean,
why
it's a very interesting way of looking at it.
I mean, I think that's, you know, I think I've said that was a good idea. It's a good idea. Why?
I think it's important symbolically. I don't think we should be stopped by somebody that has severe mental problems or whatever his problem was.
You're going to do rallies outside.
Yeah, I'm going to do a rally.
I'm going to do it. Good for him. I'm going to do it. Good for him. No, that's what I mean. He's a baller. He's not afraid. He's going to go there and he's going to be fine and he's going to go back there triumphant, and good for him. I think it's smart. I really do. I think the optics of it are great. All right, 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Got 30 minutes of nonstop talk coming up straight ahead for you from our friends at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. I've been telling you about one of the greatest finds of Mama Zeoli besides myself, of course, and that is our dentist, Dr. Mike Veneria at VeneriaDental.com. As you know, my entire family goes to Dr. Mike. His level of care and commitment to dental excellence is unmatched. You know, it's now July. We're in the back half of the year. You haven't been to the dentist yet. What are you waiting for? And now is the time to go see him for your perfect smile. Dr. Mike and his staff makes it so easy to have that beautiful, healthy smile we all want. Dr. Mike has been named the top dentist in New Jersey for 10 consecutive years. He also has one of the most respected reputations among his peers as a master of dental implants. I promise you will not be disappointed with Dr. Mike. So if you're on the fence about getting that dental procedure done or going to the dentist, get off the fence. Reach out to Dr. Mike today with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Schedule your appointment or for your free implant consultation. You deserve a beautiful smile. And that's what Dr. Mike's going to give you, the smile of your dreams, the smile you deserve. So call him at 856-786-2020. 856-786-2020 or visit VeneriaDental.com. VANARIA, VeneriaDental.com. He's my dentist and the whole family goes to him. Reagan just had her cleaning with Dr. Mike. She's 4 years old, just had her cleaning, my little girl. And of course, Mama Zeoli discovered him. And when it comes to dental implants, there's simply nobody better. No one better than Dr. Mike. VeneriaDental.com. VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
The Secret Service Director could be ashamed of all these failures, but it doesn't stop the fact that this agency, in my opinion, there's real questions about not just the competency, that's the easy part, whether or not bureaucrats in there just didn't give a damn whether Donald Trump lived or died. Bottom line, I'll just say it. They just didn't care whether Donald Trump lived or died. I really believe that. I think this is a legitimate question. I'm not going so far as to say that they killed the guy. They tried to kill the guy. I'm just saying that there's a real question whether, and I'm not ruling that out either because I can rule nothing out. I rule nothing out until I have all the facts. That's my rule in life. But I'm just saying I can't rule out the fact that they were just like, you know, it's like Rocky IV. He dies, he dies. Like I'm almost to the point now where the Secret Service had the Ivan Drago reaction. The head of the people at the top who are sitting around in the break room coming up with ideas on how to keep the guy safe. The little committee. It's like, maybe we need a guy on the roof. What are you going to do? It's a sloped roof. Could be dangerous. Somebody could fall off and hurt their knee, scrape themselves. OSHA. Former President Donald Trump was briefly delayed by Secret Service agents from taking the stage at a conference in Nashville Saturday because of another security lapse. The holdup was caused by two individuals who made their way around metal detectors inside the Music City Center where the 2024 Bitcoin conference was held shortly after 3:30 p.m. The Secret Service said in a statement to the Post that the two were credentialed and screened but were removed from the premises because they didn't follow proper entry protocol. And there you go. Republican nominee was set to give the keynote address, was instructed by a security detail to wait until the individuals were located, according to sources. After the two people were tracked down, they were ejected from the event and questioned. Neither person has been criminally charged. The two did get stopped at an initial checkpoint before they bypassed the second screening, sources said. An email to the Trump campaign went unanswered. The latest security blip comes 2 weeks after Trump was grazed by a sniper's bullet. He's going back to Butler, PA, by the way. Good for him. Good for him, his triumphant return to Butler, Pennsylvania. Let me play this quick clip for you. Trump going back to Butler, why he's doing it. He said this last night to Fox News' Laura Ingraham. Cut 7.
So you're going back to Butler to finish that speech, to give another
speech. I'm going back to, it's interesting to finish it. You say, and now to proceed
continued.
From
to
where.
To be continued.
Yeah, I mean,
why?
It's
why
a
do
very
you,
interesting way of looking at it.
I mean, I think that's, you know, I think I've said that was a good idea. It's a good idea. Why?
I think it's important symbolically. I don't think we should be stopped by somebody that has severe mental problems or whatever his problem was.
You're going to do rallies outside.
Yeah, I'm going to do rallies.
I'm going to do it. Good for him. I'm going to do it. Good for him. No, that's what I mean. He's a baller. He's not afraid. He's going to go there and he's going to be fine and he's going to go back there triumphant and good for him. I think it's smart. I think it's smart. I really do. I think the optics of it are great. All right, 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeal. We got 30 minutes of nonstop talk coming up straight ahead for you from our friends at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. I've been telling you about one of the greatest finds of Mama Zioli, besides myself, of course, and that is our dentist, Dr. Mike Veneria at VeneriaDental.com. As you know, my entire family goes to Dr. Mike. His level of care and commitment to dental excellence is unmatched. You know, it's now July. We're in the back half of the year. If you haven't been to the dentist yet, what are you waiting for? And now is the time to go see him for your perfect smile. Dr. Mike and his staff makes it so easy to have that beautiful, healthy smile we all want. Dr. Mike has been named a top dentist in New Jersey for 10 consecutive years. He also has one of the most respected reputations among his peers as a master of dental implants. I promise you will not be disappointed with Dr. Mike. So if you're on the fence about getting that dental procedure done or going to the dentist, get off the fence. Reach out to Dr. Mike today with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Schedule your appointment or your free implant consultation. You deserve a beautiful smile. And that's what Dr. Mike's going to give you, the smile of your dreams, a smile you deserve. So call him at 856-786-2020. 856-786-2020. Or visit VeneriaDental.com. VanariaDental.com. VeneriaDental.com. He's my dentist, and the whole family goes to him. Reagan just had her cleaning with Dr. Mike. She's 4 years old, just had her cleaning, my little girl. And of course, Mama Zioli discovered him. And when it comes to dental implants, there's simply nobody better. No one better than Dr. Mike. VeneriaDental.com, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.